Anybody here ever receive fundraising letters? Yeah, I see a few hands out there. Yeah. From all the schools you attended, of course. From organizations you were a member of some years ago. Organizations you're a member of now. Organizations you've never heard of before. I don't know. We just get sheaves of these things week in and week out. Everybody making their pitch, and it's hard to sort through them. I mean, some of them you know are legitimate because you've been involved in them. Others you just don't know. What you have in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians is Paul's fundraising letter to the church at Corinth. Okay? Now, he's already visited with the Corinthians, and he's told them about this offering. Now, this offering is a collection he's taking through all the churches in that area to send back to the church at Jerusalem, because the church at Jerusalem was poorer than any of the other churches. All the Gentile churches seem to be more affluent than the church out of which this Jesus movement originated. Now, the church at Jerusalem had held a meeting, and a very important decision was made there. It was a really, really wonderful decision for those churches of Gentiles, because what they decided was you didn't have to be Jewish to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. Men didn't have to be circumcised. Households didn't have to keep kosher. Women did not have to take a mikvah, a ritual bath after each period. The only requirements were basically the requirements that God offered to Noah when there was a covenant made with all of creation, which means that all the Gentiles were just welcomed into the family. What a gift. You see, good things can come out of meetings. Sometimes. Paul's reminding them of the great gift that they've received from the church at Jerusalem, and now they can keep that gift moving by helping that church in ways that it needs it. When he first came to Corinth, they were really excited about this. There was a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of energy around it. And then, like it is when many fundraisers or motivational speakers or evangelists leave, some of that energy kind of dwindles, kind of goes by the wayside. That's what had happened at Corinth. They weren't nearly as excited about this pledge they had made to fulfill, that Paul expected them to fulfill, to help support the church at Jerusalem. But there was a problem, because you see, Paul had been bragging to other people, the Macedonians, about how generous the Corinthians were. He was using the Corinthians as a good example of how you could really, really get excited about giving to other folks. So he's writing them to say, what's it going to be like when I bring some Macedonians with me and I've been bragging on you about how excited and generous you are, and you are neither excited nor generous? It's going to embarrass me, and it's going to embarrass you. So I'm sending a couple of people ahead so they can remind you of your excitement, of the energy you had about contributing to those who have less in Jerusalem. It's a fundraising letter. It's sent in order to remind them of what they intended to do and to encourage them to do that with a glad heart. Not through extortion, Paul says. You know, it's hard when you're raising funds, because there are a lot of techniques that work really well. Guilt, for example. Guilt has worked really well across the centuries to raise funds. Fear is another one. Make people afraid, you can raise all kinds of money. But that's not what Paul is about. He wants the folks to give because they've recognized the huge gift they've received from God, and the only natural thing to do is pass it on. You see, that's the difference in a gift. A gift does not reside with the person who receives it. A gift that stops its flow dies. A gift that is passed along continues to live. As we were studying this text in the Bible study on Tuesday, one of our members there reminded us that in many Eastern religions, there is a sense of how even our material goods flow, and you've got to keep them flowing like that. Sometimes we forget that Christianity is an Eastern religion. It wasn't born in England or the United States. It was born in the Middle East. And this sense that Paul has that gifts need to continue to flow if they're going to be alive is a part of that understanding that he brings. So what he wants to do is inspire the Corinthians to that original energy, that original commitment that they felt. This past week, I was able to turn in the last check to complete our apportionment giving for 2012. We paid 100% of our apportionments. And what are apportionments? Some people say it's apportionment for others. It's a good way to understand it. Some people see it as a tax, but it's not a tax. It's exactly what Paul was talking about. It's an opportunity for those of us who are better off to help those of us who are less well off. When I first got here, we were not able to pay our full apportionments. And I had two goals. One was that we could. And the second was that when we did, we would celebrate that. That we would be happy that we could do that. People ask me, well, what do they do to churches when you don't pay your apportionments 100%? I said, they send you somebody like me. I'm your punishment. Okay? That strategy worked. The very next year, we paid 100%. And we did again this year. And by doing that, do you know what we're doing? By doing that, you have traveled to Africa, to the only university in Zimbabwe that didn't close its doors during the recent trouble, that continued to have classes, continued to graduate people. You were there through those gifts. You were down at Martin College, which is thriving now. Many of those students at Martin College are the first person in their family to attend college at all. You were there with them, helping that to happen. You were with Miriam's Promise, where young women who find themselves pregnant, have no place to turn, nowhere to go, can find a compassionate ear and genuine practical help. Where couples who have wanted to have a child, and for whatever reason can't, can come and provide what we call forever families for some of those children who otherwise wouldn't have them. This doesn't just go on in the general population. At Miriam's Promise, these social workers go into the jails around this area and work with women who are pregnant, about to have children in jail. I think we're the only crisis counseling adoption service that does that. So you see, you got to go to jail. You didn't even know it. You were there. You got to go to Pulaski. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? You got to go to Africa. You got to be in dozens of little churches throughout the conference that without your help would not be able to pay the pension and insurance so that they can have a pastor serve that congregation. You've been in all those little churches. Just like the people in Corinth and the Macedonians could be in Jerusalem, even if they had never once physically visited the place. They were there. Why give it? Because the Jerusalem church needed it. Why give it? Because the Africa University needs it. Martin College needs it. Those little churches need it. Miriam's Promise needs it. There are many others I could mention. Let me give you an analogy. What if the teachers throughout the country decided that the knowledge they had received from their teachers belonged to them, and they were going to keep it to themselves. So that calculus teacher decided not to teach calculus. I would have said, thank you, Lord, myself, but others wouldn't, okay? That history teacher decided not to pass along that heritage. That English teacher decided, they don't need to know about Shakespeare. They don't need to know about William Faulkner. They belong to me. I'm not going to pass that along. You see how dead that becomes? When the gift is not passed along, it dies. What if we as pastors and we as Sunday school teachers decided that the stories of faith belong to us? We're not going to pass them along. We're not going to tell you about Abraham and Sarah. We're not going to tell you about Deborah the judge. We're not going to tell you about Jesus and his followers, because you see, those stories belong to us. So just tough luck to you. What would happen? All the stories I tell have been told for centuries, most of them at least, before I was ever born. I pray will be told for centuries after I'm gone. The knowledge that you as teachers pass along was there before you arrived on the earth, and we trust will be there after you've gone to meet God. The physical possessions we have were there before we got here. We didn't create those. We're not going to take them with us. You're not going to take a single physical possession with us when we go. Our job as preachers, teachers, persons who have been blessed, is to pass the blessing along, to keep the blessing in circulation. When God decided to set apart a people through Abraham and Sarah, the very first thing that God told them was, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. You're going to be a great nation. I will bless you so you can be a blessing to all nations. We're not blessed for ourselves. We're blessed to pass the blessing along. We're not gifted for ourselves, no matter what our gifts are. We're gifted to pass that gift along. We're collecting food, and we're going to pass that food along. Not a single one of us grew that food. Not a single one of us planted it, harvested it. Not a single one of us packaged it. We don't know who it's going to benefit, but that doesn't matter. All that matters is they need it. Keeping the gift in circulation. That's what this fundraising letter is about. That's what it's about every time we take a collection in this church, whether it's food, whether it's money. That's what it's about when we ask you to pledge. That's what it's about when we collect $18,000 for Bethlehem Center. It's all about allowing the gift to stay in circulation so that the gift stays alive. Woe be it unto us if we stop the gift and think we can own it. You see, the church at Jerusalem could never, ever repay in money what the Gentile churches were going to give them. But what Paul says is, they're going to bless you because they're going to offer thanksgiving to God. That's the gift they have. Gratitude is probably the only adequate response to any great gift. And if we can pass that gift along, we will. If nothing else, we can offer gratitude to God for that gift and for the giver. We have been given an indescribable gift, an inexhaustible gift in God's love. Of course, that indescribable gift is Jesus Christ, but it's also the breath we breathe. None of us created the air, the oxygen. It's this body we live in. None of us gave birth to ourselves. We only know how to love because somebody has loved us, and we don't bottle that love up. We pass it along to other people. We keep the gift in circulation. So my prayer is that we can offer thanks to God by passing along the many gifts that we've received so that as a blessed people, we can be a blessing to others for no other reason than that they need it. For that, we can all say, thanks be to God.